on today's Into Your Head temporarily daily Christmas show for Tuesday. It's Tuesday and it's Christmas and it's Tuesday. Oh, it's Tuesday and it's Christmas and it's Tuesday and it's Christmas and it's Tuesday and it's Christmas and it's Tuesday. And not only that, it's the Tuesday episode, one of at least three Tuesday episodes of the 2013 temporarily daily breakfast show. Although, will the last Tuesday, will that be in 2014? It may well be, because I don't know when this is going to end. But suffice to say, even if it is, that'll still be part of the 2013 Christmas season. If there's a 2014 season of temporarily daily Christmas shows, any Tuesday Christmas show that happens to fall in early January of 2014 will not be considered part of that. It'll be considered part of the 2013 one, because it's Christmas 2013. Anyway, and lots more. Lot to get on with today. Items that need to be attended to, issues that need to be addressed, a schedule, a temporarily Christmas daily schedule that needs to be adhered to rigidly, just like you would with if you had a broken leg, you'd adhere it to some sort of a splint or a cast, rigidly, make it rigid, you'd adhere it rigidly to this cast, or keep your leg straight while it heals, because otherwise you're going to end up with a bent leg, and not in a good way, not in the way it's supposed to be bent at the knee and movable. No, you'll end up with a leg that's all lopsided, bent all over the place, like an old tree that's had kittens climbing up it for generations upon generations, and not generations of kittens, generations of humans. As even because for every generation of humans, you have about 25 generations of kittens. Imagine all those kittens attacking a tree. I have a tree in my front garden that's being attacked and scratched by generations of kittens attacking it like there's no tomorrow. Then it turns up there is a tomorrow. The tree's still there, but it's got signs of aging. If someone comes along to count the rings one day, they'll say, I'm going to slice open this tree and count the rings to see how old it is. Then of course the tree will be dead, because it's not like a person where you can just amputate their hand or something and they're still alive. No, if you amputate a tree from itself, then it's dead, unless you just chop off a branch or something, I suppose, then it's okay. But no, who'd want to just amputate? You don't want to amputate a branch because you don't want to know how old the branch is, you want to know how old the tree is. So you chop down the tree and you count the rings. You say, there's one ring starting in the middle, that was this tree's first ever ring. And then the next year it grew a second ring, and the first ring became its inside ring then, and the new ring became the outside. And then the next year a third ring grew, and then the fourth one, and then the fifth, we assume. Anyway, we don't know this for a fact, although maybe the scientists do, but just because the scientists know something for a fact, that doesn't mean I do, because I'm not a scientist. They may well know it for a fact, but I don't. I just have to take their word for it. That's the problem nowadays. You have to take everybody's word for everything. You have to listen to these so-called experts. They come along and say, I've been studying tree surgery my whole life. I've never performed tree surgery, but I've been studying it for 10 years, and one of these days I hope to become a self-employed tree surgeon in my own right. And you're supposed to listen to them and listen to what they tell you based on what they've studied or what they've done in practice, and you're supposed to go, oh, that fella's being certified, so he probably knows what he's talking about. Well, I've been certified too. Well, I haven't really, but in this fictional instance I have. I've been certified mentally diseased. Yes, you don't listen to me, do you, tree surgeon? Of course you don't, because you're more qualified in this matter. But if I was to address you on issues of mental disease and you said, you've been certified mentally ill, that makes you less qualified to talk about psychiatry than... anyone else. Well, that's bullshit. So which is more qualified, a person who's being certified mentally ill or a person who's being certified with a degree in the study of mental illness? Which is more, which is the better qualification? There's a question for you. I'm gonna leave it with you. Two Christmas tree surgeons walk into a bar. One of the Christmas tree surgeons goes straight up to the bar counter and says, "Hello, I know what you're probably thinking. You're thinking, why would you need a Christmas tree surgeon? A Christmas tree only needs to last a couple of weeks. You wouldn't be worrying about its health." Well, we live in a civilized country now, a civilized civilization, and we look after the, just as we look after the well-being of the animals that we're going to eat by making them go free range, we also look after the plants that we're going to consume, not by eating, but by letting them die in our sitting rooms over Christmas. We look after their health while they're still alive, while they're growing. We keep them, if something goes wrong with them, we get in a tree surgeon. Or at least that's what I like to think, because otherwise I'm out of a job. There's not much call for Christmas tree surgeons outside of the realm of Christmas tree care. So if Christmas tree manufacturers stop employing the likes of me, and I don't know what I'm going to have to do, maybe I'll have to generalize and broaden out and become a tree surgeon rather than just a Christmas tree surgeon. Although you say just a Christmas tree surgeon, oh, just Christmas, just the birthplace of Jesus Christ, who many believe is the son of the creator of this universe. That's all it is, just Christmas. That's all it is, just the Christmas tree surgeon. You're probably thinking, oh, he's trying to ride on the coattails of the majesty of Christmas by putting his name in his title. No, I'm not. I am not. I'm just the fella who looks after the Christmas trees, though. You try living in a world without Christmas trees and without Christmas tree surgeons, but with Christmas, like I can tell you, you'll see a whole different world. Now, you could try living as well, of course, in a world that has no Christmas at all, in which case you probably wouldn't notice the absence of tree surgeons, Christmas tree surgeons. Well, let's say you lived in a universe where there's no Christmas, but there are Christmas tree surgeons. Then your taxes would go through the roof, having to pay for my welfare, because I'll be unemployed. I won't be able to get any work as a Christmas tree surgeon until travel to parallel universes is created. And even if that happens, then I'll be going and taking a job off myself, so you'll have to pay the alternate me welfare then. In which case, where will that leave you? I don't know. I'm not an expert in parallel universes. I'm not even an expert in this universe, but I am an expert in this universe's Christmas trees, so have some fucking respect. And the man behind the bar says, "Can I get you anything, sir?" And the Christmas tree surgeon says, "I'll have a pint of your finest Guinness, please." And the man behind the bar says, "Certainly, sir, and thank you for all the fine work you do for our country, nay, our universe." And the Christmas tree surgeon says, "Are you being sarcastic?" And the man behind the bar says, "I don't know, what does it say in the script?" And the Christmas tree surgeon says, "It just says improvise." And the man behind the bar says, "Oh, well, in that case, no, I'm not being sarcastic. No, no, I'm not being sarcastic at all. Do I sound sarcastic? I'm sure I don't." And the Christmas tree surgeon says, "Oh, for fuck's sake." And the man behind the bar says, "Indeed, indeed, 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 indeed. Here's your Guinness." And the Christmas tree surgeon says, "I'm not an expert in Guinness, but I'm pretty sure that was far too fast for you to pull a pint properly. You rushed it. You didn't leave it to settle halfway like you're supposed to." And the man behind the bar says, "You don't come round to my job telling me how to pull pints of Guinness. I won't come out to your job telling you how to count circles, because that's what you do. You count circles and then you remove the inner." So I assume that's how it works. If you want to fix a Christmas tree that had some damage happen to it at one point in its life, you open it up and you remove any rings that formed during those periods, which effectively leaves you with a hollowed out tree. But you remove the rings that grew during those periods and then you just have the healthy rings left, although you do have a hollow tree then. I suppose you could use that to put presents in. Start a new tradition of hiding presents inside the trunk of a Christmas tree rather than underneath it, and then at least the cats won't be able to pee on them. Which will be a good thing, if you don't mind me saying so. And the Christmas tree surgeon says, oh, I should probably listen to non-experts in my field more. That's an interesting idea. That's an interesting idea, sir, and thank you for it. It's nice to get an alternative viewpoint, a fresh mind on the matter. Would you like me to tell you a bit about how to improve your Guinness? And the barman says, no. And the Christmas tree surgeon says, you should open your mind a bit more. Open your mind. Would you like me to open it for you? I'm a surgeon in a way. I've never done brain surgery, but I'm sure I could open your mind metaphorically. Don't worry, it's not dangerous. Although it probably is if there's hypnosis involved. It's illegal to show hypnosis on a broadcast program, so it probably wouldn't make for great content on whatever we're in now. But I don't know. And the man behind the bar says, absolutely fucking fantastic. I've lost interest in this now. Do the Amazon thing. And a great night is had by all. Incidentally, if you enjoyed the temporarily daily Christmas show and you'd like to support it at no cost to you, please just use my Amazon links to do your Christmas shopping through the links on my website, intoyourhead.com. You can shop on Amazon US, Amazon UK and Ireland, or Amazon Canada. I get a generous commission from every purchase you make, and it doesn't cost you any money except the money you're spending. Isn't commerciality absolutely fantastic? Jesus, would you love this sort of thing? You come along and say, oh, hello. You say, hello, I'm Jesus. And you'd say, indeed you are. And Jesus would say, I wasn't looking for confirmation, but thank you for acknowledging me. It's nice to be acknowledged every now and then. Anyway, I noticed you're commercializing Christmas. I'm a bit concerned about that. And you'll say, why is that, Jesus? And he'd say, because I don't want to be associated with that sort of thing. And you'd say, that's okay. We'll create a new fella called Santa, and we'll associate all the commercialization with him. And then you still have a clean record. It'll be like when you go driving and one of you is being drinking, and you have the one who's not being drinking drives the car, and the one who has been drinking is just a passenger. And then the driver can keep a clean record by not breaking the law. It's a bit like that. And Santa says, or whoever Jesus says, or someone, one of them says anyway, one of the participants in the conversation says, anyway, go to intoyourhead.com, click on the Amazon links down the left of the page, and do your fucking shopping for Christmas. Absolutely fucking fantastic. On with the show.
Into your head.
Monkey nuts. That's what they call them. They call them big, steaming, shit-eating, piss-poiling, Christmas-destroying. They probably don't destroy Christmas. That's just something you say. You say that monkey nuts are Christmas-destroying, because you know it does. Saying something like that is meaningless, and it doesn't harm anybody or do anything to anybody. You can say stuff like that and get away with it, because you're not getting away with anything. It's not a crime. Nobody gets hurt. I can say that monkey nuts destroy Christmas, and who's going to get harmed? Who? The manufacturers of monkey nuts? No, because there's no such thing. They're not manufacturers, unless you think of Mother Nature as a manufacturer, I suppose. But who's going to bring down Mother Nature just by saying a few words on a podcast? No, she's above that. No more than you could bring down Nelson Mandela just by making some crap puns on Twitter about him, which everyone seems to think you can now. You mentioned the words Nelson Mandela in the same tweet as a joke about AIDS, and straight away everyone's down on you like a ton of bricks. They say, if you have AIDS and a ton of bricks falls upon you, you're probably more likely to die than anyone else, because your immune system isn't able to protect you from the ton of bricks. No more can immune systems protect you from injuries like that. I don't know. Maybe they can prevent it. No, they can't. They can't. You see, an immune system is no good to you in a situation like that. If you're in a train crash or something, and your head gets squashed, you can't say, I hope my immune system is well fired up now. I hope I had my proactive yogurt this morning. That'll help protect me. No. What you need in that instance is a helmet. If you think we're going to start all wearing helmets on trains now, please don't say it out loud, because you'll give the frigging authorities idea years, they'll start saying, oh, everyone who goes on trains now has to have a helmet. And then they'll say, no, that's a stupid idea. But then someone from an insurance company will be listing, and they'll say, oh, that might be a way to make us more profitable. If we tell all the train people that they have to make their passengers wear helmets, that'll reduce the risk. And next thing you know, we'll all be wearing helmets, and it'll be like something out of George Orwell's 1984, except it won't be in a book, it'll be real. And then there'll be books written about it, but there'll be history, non-fiction history books, and it'll be even worse than George Orwell, because it'll be real. George Orwell wasn't real. Well, he was real, but he's not anymore. He's not real anymore. He's gone and dead and buried. Anyway, on with the following story. Once upon a time, there was a dog. A dog. A dog. A dog. A dog. A dog. Who was dogged with problems. Plagued and dogged with problems. He had problems coming out of his nose. He was up to here with problems. Now, I know you can't see where I'm pointing to, but this is radio. It's theatre of the mind. And I know what you're thinking there. This isn't on the radio. This is fake internet pretend toy radio. Well, it's theatre of the mind. There too, because if you've an active imagination, you can pretend this is on the radio, and then it'll be just exactly the same but different, but the same, because you use your mind. Don't just leave it to rot and fade away. And if you're going to let your mind rot like that, you might as well just take a shortcut and have it cremated instead of just letting it rot. But no, don't. If I told you today, you don't use your mind, you should have a cremated today, you'd say, no, I'll be fucking ridiculous, I want my mind. But no, you're happy to let it rot slowly over years of misuse and neglect. You're happy to do that. It's the same with smoking. People say, I'm going to drink a cigarette now, and I'm not going to die today because of it. It's going to slowly kill me over decades, but I barely notice that because it's slow and it happens over time. And you think, oh, it's fine because of that, I'll just carry on. Like the beautiful South used to sing, got enough money for one more beer, I'll carry on regardless. Got enough money for something, I'll carry on regardless. Carry on with something. I don't want to go too far there because I breach copyright. I probably don't have the right to perform the songs of the beautiful South, a band from England, which is fine because I don't want to. No interest in them. They're an old people's middle of the road pop band as far as I'm concerned. The fact that they have a few swear words in a couple of their songs and the album versions doesn't make them any more cool. They're still the ITV drama of the music world. So don't give me any of that crap. You might as well be watching Murder, She Wrote if you're going to listen to that. It probably syncs up. You could probably watch an episode of Murder, She Wrote and sync it up with a beautiful South album, and it'll be just like that thing. What's that thing? There's an album where you play and that you play and it's supposed to link up with the Yellow Brick Road thing or something, isn't it? I can never remember what one. I can never remember. I just can't right now remember. I probably can. I don't know. I don't often try to remember that particular fact. It's just a force of habit that you say I can never remember. I've only tried to remember once, and it's on this here. What's that? Let's look it up now. What's that album that syncs with The Wizard of Oz? Album syncs with Wizard of Oz search. Hold on a minute. Is it Dark Side of the Moon? It was Dark Side of the Moon. Wizard of Oz and Dark Side of the Moon. In case you're wondering, you young, The Dark Side of the Moon was an album by Pink Floyd that you listen to and then you kill yourself because it's so fucking depressing. It goes up, up. There's a song that goes up, 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 and down, 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 down. And nobody knows when Santa's coming to town, 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 town. It's the most fucking depressing album ever made, unless you count everything by, everything by what's his name? What's your man who everyone always says is depressing? Leonard Cohen. He isn't at all. He's one of the most uplifting artists of the 21st century. I don't know that for a fact. I'm just saying that to be different, to not go with the commonly lazy thing that people say, that he can't even back up. He couldn't even name one of his songs. I know I couldn't. You couldn't either. So don't, although there is that one. Isn't there that one? He did the one that's in Shrek. Well, no, people say, he has a song that was used in Shrek the movie, yet you're perfectly willing to say that he's one of the most depressing artists of the 23rd century or whatever we're up to now. Absolutely fucking ridiculous. Don't be a lazy thinker. Be an active thinker. Think stuff through before, otherwise we're not going to advance. We're never going to have flying cars at this rate, unless you take the view as I do, that helicopters are flying cars. They just need to be rebranded. We have flying cars already, they're helicopters. Anyway.
You've been listening to Neil tell you stories about cats, probably. Neil talks a lot about cats. Send your topic suggestions to studio@interyourhead.com.